A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Senior Pastor of Word Fountain Christian Ministries, Pastor Dupe Adefola. Be blessed.
Acknowledge, we bear witness that you are the Lord God Most High. You are awesome in power. You are glorious in holiness. You are faithful. You are beautiful for situations. Our heart sings. Our mouth confesses that there is none like you. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the testimonies of your saving grace. We thank you for your healing power. We thank you for you are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You are the multi-breasted God. You are the all-sufficient King. You are the one, O God, before whom every knee must bow. And every tongue confess that you are the Lord. Daddy, we say there is none like you. In our lives, O God, in our homes, in Word Fountain Christian Ministries, in the Church of Jesus Global, Lord, in the cities and the nations of the world, you rule and you reign. Lord, we thank you that your word has come in testimonies and praise and in worship. Lord, you have sent your word to heal. You have sent your word to deliver. You have sent your word to comfort. You have sent your word to challenge us, to even raise our faith. Lord, we say thank you for your ever-powerful word. Lord, may your word not fall to the ground. Even as we go into the scriptures, even as we reflect by the help of the Holy Spirit, Jehovah, speak to each one of us. Your word is creative. Lord, let it do the creative work in our hearts. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, let nothing that is not pleasant to you be able to withstand the word even today. Let it cut deep into our inner heart. Let it, oh God, uproot every temptation. Let it, oh God, deliver us, oh God, from every destruction. Causes, oh God, King of glory, to make us to be established in you. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for your proceeding word. I pray that every heart will be receptive. I ask, oh God, that our hearts will not just be receptive, but it will be fertile ground. That, Lord, we will go and do according to your word. Lord, we thank you. We bless your name for all the assemblies, for Swindon and Watchfield. Indeed, we thank you for their gathering is unto you. We pray for your unction upon your servants there. We pray for your unction upon your servants in North Oxford. We pray that the barbecue and the outreach in North Oxford, oh God, will be a testimony that you ordained it. And Lord, we may be few, but we know we are many in you. For we have the innumerable company of angels to minister to us, to encourage us, to embolden us. Lord, even to bring to the seats, oh God, that are empty this morning, the souls that you are saving. For you are still adding to the church as many as have been saved. Lord, we bless your name, that our eyes are not unto the temporal, but unto the eternal. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you for joining mercies. For those of us who were on a mission to Manchester this weekend, we are grateful, Lord, for the rest and the strength. We are grateful for the things we learned. We are grateful for the impact you made use of us to accomplish. Well, thank you for the union of the church. Well, thank you that your word is active. We pray that the work that was done in Salford, Manchester, will continue. That the souls that promised to be in church today, Lord, there will be testimonies that they came. They will abide and they will abound. They will be established in truth. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. For you keep building the church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Let's appreciate God among us. Let's bless his holy name. Our God is awesome. Thank you for coming to church. And I hope after service you will think about one or two people who we have not seen today, and that the grace of God will help us to go after them, to encourage them in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. I was away last week, I was with the church in London. It was good to sit at their Bible study. And I bring you greetings also from IMF, the Apostle George and Pastor Grace. It was beautiful. And I want to thank God for our pastors in the house, Pastor Winford, Pastor Clara, and all the leaders for holding forth. Amen. We keep moving on. We keep doing what the Lord has put in our heart. We bless the name of the Lord. Who will remind me what our theme for the month is? What's our theme for the month? Okay, thank you that you remember. Who else? Choir. What's our theme for the month? If you know it, shout it loud. Boldness. Boldness for witness and wonders. That's the theme for the month. And that's what we are trusting the God of heaven for. Thank you very much. Come with me to Mark chapter 16. Let's go through the scriptures and let's receive from the Lord this morning that boldness. We must have boldness in his word. We must have boldness in prayer, boldness. Our kingdom is the kingdom of boldness. Amen. Amen. The one, the Bible says, the lion does not withdraw for any man. The one we serve is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. I read from verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned or be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Verse 19. So then. Somebody says, so then. So then, after they heard the word of God, after they heard the instruction of Jesus, after they believed what he has said, the Bible said the consequences were that. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So then, after Jesus delivered his own message, so then, after Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, so then, after Jesus showed up and said, yes, I died, but I'm alive, so then, after Jesus told them to go and preach the gospel, he was received unto heaven. He took his own rightful place. And the people who received the word, they also took their position. They went forth and they preached everywhere. They preached in their families. They preached in their neighborhood. They preached in the synagogue. They preached in the halls. They preached in the marketplaces. They just did what Jesus told them to do. And the Lord, who was sat on the right hand of God, also was walking with them. How many of us want Jesus to walk with us? We want Jesus to walk with us. We've got to walk with him. He won't do the work alone. The Bible said Jesus was walking with them because they went forth. Because they took the message. They gave him a reason to walk with them. We have to give him a reason to walk with us. I tell you, Salford was beautiful. It was good to see. It wasn't just one church. It was many churches walking together, walking the streets of Salford and proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And people were willing to hear. They listened. I mean, Minister Favor, in your group, what was it that you came up with? I'll also ask you. Amen. Okay, come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah, praise God. It was awesome yesterday because we went out to evangelize, and I pray that we'll be able to do that here more. We do it, actually, because they were like, okay, what do you do in Oxford? Now, show us how to do it. So we're grateful that we can be a testimony too. In my group, I met this lady, her name is Jane. Because while we were leaving, they said, is your lifestyle, your testimony that will preach to others. So just go out and, it's not as if you go and say, oh, you brood of viper, if you don't give your life to Christ, it will kill you. You know, talk to them what God has done in your own life so you can change your own life. And as I spoke to her, you know, she was telling me she doesn't believe because she believes a bit, but because she had a lot of people that had died in her family, and so she's thinking, really? Are you really there? She said, I prayed. She said she prayed for 5 years. I said, you have kept praying. I was sharing with her a testimony of, I can't remember his name in the Bible now, who prayed to see Jesus, the old man who prayed to see Jesus, Elizabeth's husband. Yeah, who prayed so much. And he kept praying until Jesus appeared. And she told me, she said, she can't pray for that long ago. And then we continued. So as well, she was about going, I just felt something started to pray for her legs. And she said, how do you know? I've been having leg pain. This is someone that told me I shouldn't pray for her. She doesn't want prayer. She's all right. Everyone is dead. I'm okay. I'll be fine. I'm not going now anyway, but it's just me, so I don't really need prayer. The people I needed prayer for had gone. So, and I just said, let me pray for your leg. She said, how do you know something's wrong with my leg? And so I started praying for her leg. And because God just led me that way, and we prayed together. And I just want to thank God because she's a believer, but she just needs for someone to help her to get to that place to fully trust in God. It was awesome going out yesterday. I thank God.
Thank you. Pastor Clara, please share with us what a standing encounter you had. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Indeed, I thank God for Manchester and Salford yesterday. I think I would just start, Pastor, by just thanking God for the weather. Because when we got there, I was looking at one of our, I think it was Glory, he was saying, so far, Pastor, it's rained every day in Manchester. And we were just saying, it's rain. But the day we were going out, God held the weather. There was no rain. The heat wasn't so much that you think it's uncomfortable. It was beautiful. We were grouped into 5 groups. You are not looking to fill any of the groups. There was overflow in the groups. You know, people who want to share, like Pastor said, from different churches. And I was receiving it to say, yes, when we call for evangelism, we'll not be struggling to say who will fit that group. Because there will be people who want to go out and share. So from me alone, before I even went out, I was so encouraged from that level. Amen. And when we went out, I mean, I thank God because I was with one of our young brothers. He was saying that, oh, Manchester is so hard. But another thing that God helped us with, all the no's we have when we go out in Oxford had toughened us that their hardness to me was this ground is so soft. It's so soft. Because even the ones who say, don't talk to me, was a bit like, don't talk to me. There was a smile in there, don't talk to me. But I thank God that the ones who talked to us, you could see that they were really listening. The Lord was really ministering. Yes. And for me, what I was blessed with was the people I went with, actually. There were people who were listening. So I went with a girl, she was 10, Anna Brielle, her name was. And one of the ladies, after we approached her, there were an elderly couple. Because she said, I believe in God, her husband said, I don't know. And you could see that maybe because of marriage, she had left that believe in God a bit. But us meeting her was rejuvenating something inside. You could see lights coming in her. And then she said to me, so what do you do in your church? And I said, I've just visited, but I'll give you to Anna Braille to share with you what she does. And Anna Braille said, talking, she said, in our church, we have lots of conferences, we have lots of exciting things, and you have an encounter with Jesus, and it changes your life.
Wow.
And I was watching her, and I was so... You know, I said, with our children, as we bring them to church, it's not because just mommy and daddy is coming, that they themselves are being blessed. And I was also with young brother Taffet, the Jammer's son. And for him, he cannot see the gift that God has put in him. Because even just saying, hello, my brother, that itself, he's got such an aura around him that... You, even if you were just wanting to go out and slap everybody that day, just because of how he says hello, you pause. And I kept encouraging him. I said, please, do not leave this role, this thing God has given you, this gift of evangelism, because you are great at it. What I've seen, because I learned from him as well, that sometimes you think you have to have a script to say, well, what we do in whatever. No, this was just a natural flow. And I, for me, evangelism was the learning. Every time somebody says, I don't know how to fish, and someone said, to learn to fish, you have to fish. Amen. So for us, I don't know anyone sitting there saying, I'm intimidated when I go, I don't know what to say. Start by just saying hello and let the Holy Spirit fill your mind. No, it was a blessing. We thank God for the life's touch and its permanence. There's abiding fruits in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We really bless God. I can't say that it was a training. It was a revival. There was so much happening. And we came back so refreshed. I came back so refreshed saying, wow, this was needful. But what God has sent us to come and do is to remind ourselves and to thank you for every time you've gone out. Every time you have stood in North Oxford as a witness to God. Every time you went to Swindon to be part of what God is doing. Every time we walked along this road, I've come home to say, thank you. Thank you, Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Every time we say, let's go to the carnival, and you say, okay, let's go. We will be there. And every time we say, oh, we're going to the homeless, and we park, it means a lot to God. I've come to encourage us today that this is what it is about. This is our legal right to be a church. The church became a church because people went preaching. There was no church before they went preaching. The only legal right we have to remain as a church is that we are witnessing, we are preaching the gospel, and we are praying for the nations. It's not just for us to come round and sing and dance and go home. No, we only can rightly say before the throne of grace that we are a church because we are salt and light to the community, because we are making Jesus known to the community. I tell you, church, if we fail in that mission, God has a right to close the church. He has a right to close this church. Because what good is a church that does not know his purpose? What good is a believer that does not know why he was saved, why he was healed? Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. We'll still come back to Acts chapter 4, the anchor scripture. Luke chapter 4, from verse 14. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens. Jesus went, after giving the instruction, he went straight into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Pastor Winford also alluded to this. Let us hold fast our profession, our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When the world is telling us it's not going to be well, it's not going to happen, when the medical doctors are saying things or we are even feeling things, we come boldly to the throne of grace. We seek the face of God. Thank God for the testimony of Sister Christine. Thank God for the testimony of Pastor Clara. This was the house where we made the prayer. Hallelujah. And it has returned as testimonies because they came boldly. They did not accept what the world was saying, what their body was saying. Now the God of heaven is also saying, as you came boldly to receive mercy, also go boldly to be a witness. That mercy that you have received, that God healed you, he took away your fear. For I know for 2 weeks before the result came, my sister, you were crushed in spirit. You were thinking all sorts of things. Now that you have received the good news, you have a good news to take out. Your brother, house one, house two, house three, house four, he must have been thinking, am I going to end in court like other people? Am I going to be forced to take the fifth accommodation, even if it doesn't suit my desire? And God said, the fifth one will be the fifth of grace. And grace, when you come to the throne of grace, we didn't hear about it. In the house one, we were not told. House two, we were not told. House three, we were not told. House four, we were not told. But when it came to his back was against the wall, the prayer points came. The church arose in prayer. And God made the fit one the right one. He has a testimony. Not just to sit comfortably in the house, but to tell others that look at what God has done. That's what witness is about.
Has God ever done you good? Has God done you good? Has God done you good? Has God fought your battle? Has God defended you? Has God answered your prayers? Has God saved you? Have you had a testimony with the Lord? You, when you hear of witness next time, you should be running to be number one. Hallelujah. When you hear of evangelism, you should be asking, where and when is it taking place? Well, nobody should have to cajole anyone, because it's the legitimate right that makes us a church. It is the legitimate right that we have. It is what gives power to the church. This is what someone says. What other kind of church is there than the one that God created for mission? As someone said, it's not that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. We are the church of God for his mission in the world. He wants to walk with us. God wants to walk with us. Say, God wants to walk with me. Brother Kunle, God wants to walk with you. Sister Bridget, God wants to walk with you. Minister Favor, God wants to walk with you. Sister Christine, God wants to walk with you. Pastor Clara, God wants to walk with you. Pastor Winford, God wants to walk with you. Sister Mercy, God wants to walk with you. The little girls, God wants to walk with you. Sister Lucy, God wants to walk with you. Brother Temi, God wants to walk with you. Sister May, God wants to walk with you. Brother Simon, God wants to walk with you. Brother Corin, God wants to walk with you. It is because he wants to walk with you that he walks in you. That's why he walks for you. So that he can walk with you. Because you will be a fake witness if God hasn't walked in you. You will be a fake witness if God has not walked for you. What do you call witnesses that go to court? If there is an accident and they call for witnesses, is it not people who saw what happened? If God hasn't done it for you, you don't owe him any responsibility to go out for him. You don't have a witness. You have a head knowledge. You don't have a heart experience. But if you have had a heart experience, if he has changed you, if he has transformed you, if he has come into your home and made the mess a message, if he has helped you, if he has comforted you, if he has strengthened you, then you should line up as witnesses. You should be asking us, when next are we going out? I have a reason to tell the world. 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 He saved me. I have a reason to tell the world. He healed me. I have a reason to. He cleared my mess. I have the reason to tell the world. In my life, I have the reason to. In this city, I have a reason to tell the. In this nation, I have a reason to tell. To the ends of the earth, I have a reason to tell the. His word is true. He walks in me, I have a reason to. He walks for me, I have a reason to tell. And he walks with me, I have a reason to tell the world. I have a reason to tell the world. We have a reason. It is not about numbers. The reason why Good News Assembly could call us to come out is because they have been going out. They just needed a reinforcement. They needed to be reinforced. They needed to be encouraged. So when Word Fountain invites the Mission Central team to come and work with us and let us reach the city, it must be because we've been about it. Hallelujah. It's because we just need reinforcement from heaven. It must be because the work is increasing and God needs more people. That God will send laborers into his field. That we see the harvest. We know where the harvest is. We know where the direction of the harvest is. We have the sickle. That's what it's about. May the Lord awaken us in the name of Jesus. And for the work that's been done before and that will be continued to do, may the Lord bless the work. May the Lord encourage us. May the Lord make our fruits to abide and abound. May God add to his church as many as have been saved. In the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Part of the testimony that came back yesterday as people went out was that they knocked on a flat and there was a woman there who, after resisting a Muslim, opened up to them to say to them she lost her son, a five-year-old son or thereabouts, a few months ago, and she had been contemplating suicide. She had been suicidal. And as of yesterday, her husband was not home. They had taken the son out, and her mind was probably processing suicide. And they knocked on her door, and they brought her hope. They prayed with her. Do you think that soul will not acknowledge that God saw to her problem? Someone said she had dreamt about Jesus overnight. And they came knocking on her door telling her about Jesus. Do you think she will ever forget that dream? That is what we are about. We go to reinforce the work that God is doing around us. We go to tell people that the Jesus you are thinking about is the Jesus who is at work. Christ in us is the hope of glory. We must not hold back. Hallelujah. Apart from the church witness, you must learn to be a personal witness. The people you are living on, that are living on your street, God has put you there as an ambassador. Don't just go in, open your door, lock your door, go in and go out. No. Get tracts. We have tracts that have been, please bring out the tracts, Pastor. We have tracts in the church. Take them out this week. Just drop them and prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on them and to use them. You know, who was sharing it? Who was it? Where was I? Who? No, it was Pastor Overseer Curtin who said the way his pastor, under whom he got saved, was that after you have been saved, he will organize a crusade in your street and ask you to be to give your testimony. If I was to come to your street and say, "What Fountain, we are going to Sister Mercy Street," and she's going to give her testimony, just imagine we have an open air crusade and you are to give your testimony. Ah, so she's a Christian. We only know she comes in and she comes out. We didn't know she's a Christian. So she's a Christian. Will people know that you're a Christian? Will people be able to know? Oh, no wonder. She comes and tells us about Jesus. So she has other people. We thought she was the only one who knew Jesus. So she has other people. She has brethren. She belongs to a church. Amazing. Can we activate witness around us? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are to be bold as witnesses. Acts chapter of the Apostle, chapter 4. This is what the apostles did. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4, and then I'll read 29 to 31 as the Lord will help me. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 is just taking learning from the apostles that have gone ahead of us. Amen. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead, or from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now even time. Albeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Hallelujah. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And that was going on in the name of Jesus, and Peter testified. But let's go to verse 20. I'll start from verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Have you come to that place in your faith where you cannot but speak of the things you have seen, the things you have heard? Maybe so there were nights when you felt alone in your home and the devil came upon you with some sickness and strange sickness and you thought, am I going to make it till the morning time? And you just said, Jesus, spare my life. And you woke up in the morning, you're still alive. Is that not something you have experienced? Is that not something you can share with somebody? Hallelujah. They said, you judge. I want to be as bold to be able to say to any opposition, you judge whether I should obey you or Christ. The Christ, when my car ought to have crashed, there was a day I was driving. I was so tired. I think I was coming from Gatwick. I was so tired, sincerely. All I wanted was to park the car, but I still had about 1.5 hours to go. And I saw myself in my weariness. The next turn, I was coming off a slip road. I did not know that the road was so narrow. All that was going was, I was just going to zoom, but God just helped me. Narrowly, I missed the cliff. I thought, wow, I just missed this cliff? It wasn't me, because my mind was too tired to think. It could only have been God guiding me and leading me to safety. That is a testimony. And when people feel that they are at the edge of their lives, I want to say to them, there is a God that can turn that situation around. I know that I have been at the edge of a physical cliff, but for his presence, I would have gone down. So you don't have to go down. You don't have to go down the emotional cliff. You don't have to go down the financial cliff. You don't have to go down the medical cliff. You don't have to go down marital cliff, because God can steer your life away from danger. I have a testimony. My son Adeyanju was sharing 2 years ago. He had been sick. He came for Christmas. He was so sick. I've never seen my son that sick since the Lord gave him to me over 30 years ago. Only for him, after he had gone back to London to tell me, Mom, the doctors are not sure of what is happening to my right arm. I went to London to see it. I saw the blackness of the blackness. All his arm was just one solid. I'm pressing the body and it's going down. My son's hand was as hard as, not as a rock, that would be exaggerating, but it was as hard as this. I think you cannot feel anything. He was not feeling anything. And doctors were saying something. I said, God, this hand is what is used to praise you. This hand, I trust you that you will heal him. And by the mercy of God, after about 6 months, they even gave him steroids. And they told him the consequences of steroids. And my son said he would rather not take the steroids. And he didn't. And God sent the balm of Gilead. I have a testimony. I am living in a testimony. My world is a testimony. My daughter came home and said, oh, Mom, I have a lump in my breast. And the doctor said, we have to do a biopsy. The same year, it was just back to back. And we went to the hospital. I stood with her. I'm sure pastors, you remember. And they took it out and they said, oh, nothing. So I know that there is God. A lump does not have to be a cancer. It doesn't have, because we have a God who has shed his blood. He who has given his body. His body was broken. Hallelujah. I know the enemy. The Bible says we do not have a high priest who is not touched by the feeling. We can have the feelings, but we don't have the reality. Jesus took the reality. I know what headache feels like. I can feel headache. But the real headache, Jesus took it. And so when I have the feeling, I can go to Jesus. I think it looks like a headache. Let the living, the Bible says there is balm in Gilead. When Jesus' body was pierced, he released the balm. And we only need to know how to connect with it. We have a message for the world. Hallelujah. And it took Jesus only 12 people to turn the world around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. There are 17 of us. Apart from the children out there, I'm talking about those of us here. 17. If we take this walk seriously, we will see the community transform. We will see Jesus exalted. He said, when I'm lifted up, you want people to come to church? We have to lift him up, not just in praise and worship. Before them, we have to lift him up. He said, I will draw souls to myself. May the Lord help us. May the Lord give us that understanding. Verse 29, when the work was becoming difficult for the apostles, when they knew whom they have believed, when they knew his saving grace, his healing power, the demonstration of his love, and they came across difficulty, they prayed to him. And they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak their word. Not that we may hide because we have been threatened. Not that we may hide because they are not receiving the word. Not that we may hide because we are the only few people doing it. Not that we may hide because we are too tired. God instill boldness in us that we may continue with all boldness to speak your word. What do you do? Stretch forth your hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. That must be our prayer. Whenever you hear of witness, don't think, oh, I'm excluded. No, pray for the vision, pray for the mission, and join the mission. Hallelujah. We have rota. Your names are being listed every time. Don't let it be a disappointment to heaven. Don't let heaven have a disappointment. That, oh, you are included in the outreach and you fail to show up. May that not be our portion. In the name of Jesus Christ. When we come to God praying, oh, God, I need your healing. I need peace. I need a child. I need my papers. I need a home. I need a car. I need this. God only has one response. I need souls. 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 Is it too much for God to ask? I want to get married. Lord, I want to travel. God, I need protection. God's response is, I need souls. I need souls. I need souls. I need souls. Heaven has room for souls. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He told us that there is room for every soul that we meet. And I pray that God will help us to be the net with which he draws them in. In Jesus' name. So let us play our part in filling the mansions of heaven. If your own home is in heaven is prepared, if your own home in heaven is beautiful, my 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 home in heaven is... If your home in heaven is beautiful, help someone to get another home. Hallelujah. If you have bought a good plot of land, on earth, and you know the landowners, won't you say to your brother, look, oh, I've just bought this piece of land. Do you want to buy one? If you have already secured your mansion in heaven, should you not tell your neighbor, should you not tell your colleague, should you not tell your family members that God is making his mansions available in heaven? I don't know how much time we have before Jesus comes. It's not to threaten us, it's just to get us busy in the Lord's work. When you want to say to God that you are busy, the devil will always have enough to fill your hand. If that's your mentality, I'm too busy to join them for witness, I'm too busy to go on evangelism, too busy, the devil will make sure that you are busy. But when you make yourself available, in spite of everything, God will give you the strength. I pray that God will continue to give us the strength in the name of Jesus Christ. The Red Sea will never part, would not have parted if Moses did not point his rod. The Bible says, how can they hear unless they are preached to? How can they preach unless they are sent? God is sending us, and I pray it will not just be a one-month thing. We're already in the third week of the month. I pray that all of us will not be waiting for calendar and for prompts. We will be out there making Jesus known. Hallelujah. Let's just talk a few things about possible objectives, obstacles to soul winning. The things that, so that we know what we are praying and how to pray. The reasons where there are obstacles to soul winning. The first one is indifference or spiritual lethargy. Many people have heard Jesus is coming, and according to human calendar, they haven't seen him, so they don't believe he's coming. Many people have heard, oh, you need to be saved, and they see those who are not saved prospering and having the best of the world as far as they can see. But is that to stop us from preaching and witnessing? No, 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 no. The Bible says the day is like 1,000 years before God, and 1,000 years just like a day. And want you to know that the indifference of the world should not make us to be cold. Actually, it should strengthen our resolve in prayer that God, you will soften their hearts. I've met many people who were I don't do religion. Yesterday, oh, no, no, no. I don't do religion. But by the time we're finished, they say, oh, you are a nice person. I'll keep this track. I will read this track. Amen? Indifference of the fact that people will say, oh, I don't believe in God. I say, oh, that's actually a belief. Not believing in God is a belief. Do you know that? They had to make the choice. They had to come. Oh, I said, that actually is a belief. How have you come to that conclusion? And then they give me all the theories that they have. And I just share, well, my experience tells me that there is God. And I share my testimonies. And I pray that you have a reason to help the indifferent to know that there is God. The second is the unbelief. Some people really have a little belief, but they don't believe all that you say about Jesus. Actually, the Bible says that Jesus could not do many mighty miracles in his own town due to unbelief. So people who think about religion, they do not believe in the truth of God. They know that there is Islam, there is Catholic, there is Pentecostal, there is Anglican, and so they are confused. If there is one God, why are there so many religions? I don't have an answer to that, because Jesus did not come for denominations. He came that men may be saved. All I say to them is, if you know God, you will know that the denominations are there by because of differences, but not because Jesus didn't come. You get to know God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Their own opinion to them is more weighty than God's inspired declarations. They will want to draw you into their unbelief. If there is God, where is their war? If there is God, why are people dying? If there is God, why am I sick? If there is God, how will you answer the if questions? If you go onto the internet, there are many evangelistic answers to such questions that you can equip yourself with. Hallelujah. Even in the Bible, there was unbelief. So don't think it's only the 21st generation. Jesus walking on the face of the earth, healing people, setting captives free, delivering people from demons. People still did not believe him. Amen? How much more now that he's not physically with us, but walking in us through his Holy Spirit? That tells me we cannot fight the battle of unbelief by saying we will stay at home because they don't believe. If they didn't believe him when he walked on the face of the earth, all we have to believe is that he will do what he has proposed to do in the name of Jesus. There's another group that are delaying their salvation. In the Acts of the Apostles, time will not allow us to read it. There was a man called Felix. When Paul was witnessing before him, he said, go your way this time. I will call you at another convenient time. If I can find it quickly, it will be good maybe for us to read. He said, oh, come again at another time. Some people believe that they have all the time. Hallelujah. They believe they have all the time before they hear the gospel. But tomorrow is not promised to anyone. It's in Acts of the Apostles chapter 23, if you want to find time to go and read it. And your own time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you read 23 and 24. Thank you, Jesus. It's a long read, but please find it so that you will be grounded. That people will say, oh, I cannot acknowledge Jesus now. Please come back. Hallelujah. Thank you. Please come back and at another time. But Pastor Clara just gave the specific verse. It says in verse 25 of Acts 24, this is Felix. Let me read from verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ and a reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go your way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." We have many. Oh, not now, after I've got married. Oh, after I've bought my car. When I finish my education. They defer their salvation as if they have control over time. I pray that God will help us to pray. When we are praying, God, is there anyone who is delaying their salvation? God, let them know that now is the hour of salvation. Today is the day of salvation, that they will not harden their hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will run through these few points. Some have carnal security. What do I need God for? Look at my house. Is it not beautiful? Look at the number of cars. I bought them. Look at my degree. Look at how beautiful my children are. What do I need God for? And of a truth, if you look at all that they have, you will wonder, what more do they need? Until you remember that Jesus said, one thing is needful. That one thing that is needful is having a place in heaven. And even the fact that everything that you see, they are not secured, no matter the insurance. If God sends a tornado like that, everything will be gone. If there is a tsunami, everything will be gone. If one sickness, infectious disease is allowed into that home, all will be wiped out. If a plague comes upon the land, when you know that, you will know that there is nothing secured upon the earth. You will have the confidence to say to them, you know what? Everything that you are seeing, they cannot last. They're very temporal. A sickness, if it invades the body, people will be looking for money to pay for doctor. And doctor will say, have you ever seen doctor say, we're sorry, we tried our best. So there is nothing secured in carnal things. Nothing. And you as a Christian, you must be confident to be able to say, look, the fact that they have a fortified home, that they have cars parked in front of their house, that they have titles, doctor, they have professor against their name, does not grant them eternal security. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you have that message to give to them. I pray that our boldness will be that we know who we know in the name of Jesus. Some people love sin, even in the church. They have secret sin. They lust. They gamble. They are involved in pornography. They drink alcohol. They are addicted to things. And so when you hear about witnessing, you first of all ask yourself, do I qualify to tell other people? And that keeps you back. But you yourself have to deal with the love of sin. You have to make sure by the grace of God that you ask God, God, deliver me from this addiction. Deliver me from this sinful life so that I can go out and tell the world. And if you have been delivered from sin, you have no secret sin, then you should be bold as a lion to tell others that God can take away the appetite. I used to say to people when I was working as an accountant in Nigeria, company secretary, chief accountant. It was intense. I will work for maybe 20 hours of the day. When I get home and I want to sleep, there must be a bottle of Guinness by my bedside. That's when I can sleep. I must have my Guinness. What do they call it? Lanko or whatever. But Akunde, what is it called? What is it called? When I drink it, I sleep like a baby, and I wake up in normal time. But when God saved me, I saw that I could sleep without Lanko. Thank you, sir. And I have that testimony that I don't have to be addicted to any drug. I don't have to be addicted to, I have it. It happened to me. All I have to say to God is that, God, you give your beloved sleep. Please add rest to my sleep. And I sleep like a baby. I don't use an alarm clock. To the grace of God, I never use an alarm clock. When it is time for me to wake up, I just feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and I get up. When I hear alarm clocks around me, it irritates me. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about personal experience. And so I have something to say to someone who feels addicted. Some people will even borrow other people's medication. Doctors have not prescribed the medication. They only know that medication is needed to sleep. So they borrow from A, they borrow from B, they drink it. They don't know what other implications it has in their body, because they have not allowed the grace of God to come. I pray that we will receive that comfort of the Holy Spirit to do away with sin and all its trappings, so that we can have boldness in witness. And when you step out to say to people that God can deliver you from addiction, you're saying it from a conviction, not from a head knowledge. And I know the power of God is here in the name of Jesus. The real thing is that we don't have to love sin. Don't excuse sin. Say to God, I don't need this addiction. And God will come alongside us. He will heal us in the name of Jesus. The Bible says some love darkness more than light. I don't want to do anything. I say to the leaders, when I tell you about my life, it's because when I die, I want you to be able to say there is nothing about her that we didn't know. I have no skeleton in my cupboard, because I know that Jesus is coming. If he desires, I can give me more years. But if he says today, I always say to God, I don't want to dress in a cloth I can't die in. That selects the type of clothes in my wardrobe. If I was wearing this dress and I die, am I going to be ashamed to appear before Jesus? That influences me. I'm shopping and I'm saying, God, can I put on? I'm praying, God, is this dress for me? Will you dwell in me if I'm wearing it? Especially if I have doubts about the court and things. I'm praying, God, if I die today and I'm wearing this dress, will I make it? That's the sort of life I'm living. May the Lord help us. I hate sin. I love righteousness. And I know you hate sin and you love righteousness. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Then the other groups are those who are self-righteous. They have always been a Christian. They were born into religion. They served on the altar. They keep all the commandments. Actually, their heart is full. They've justified themselves. What more do you need? I pay my tithe. I go to prayer. I'm leading the church. I have a title. You know, when I read John chapter 3, and God, Jesus, because of time, let's go there. John chapter 3. I've been reading John chapter 3, verse 16. But I read it this weekend, and my eyes opened. John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 10. I read from verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel and you know not these things? You don't know about being born again. You don't know about salvation. Are you an usher in Word Fountain? Are you in the media of Word Fountain? Are you in the choir of Word Fountain? Are you in sanctuary keeping? Are you a prayer mentor in Word Fountain? Are you teaching our children in Word Fountain? And you don't know about being born again. Jesus challenged Nicodemus. Are you a ruler in Israel and you don't know these things? But he explained it to him. Let there be no hypocrisy. God will point to each one of us. Do you know that you need to be born again? It doesn't matter the title that you carry. After all, at the end of the day, I'm not going to answer a roll call in heaven saying, Pastor Dukwe Adefala. Heaven will say, Dukwe Adefala. If it likes, can add Oluwa Toyin, you know? I'm not going to answer Pastor Dukwe Adefala in heaven. Do you understand? The best it will be is on my obituary, if you want to honor, just put Pastor Mudukwe Adefala. Heaven will say, we know Adukwe, oh yeah, coming. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't let your title or the work you do in the church deceive you. If you are not born again, get born again. Let's do the business within, and then we will go and do the business without. No more hypocrisy. You cannot just be in the church because you want a child, you want a house, you want a car, and that counts you as a Christian. No, no, no. Christians are people who are living the life of Christ. and who are living testimonies of his saving grace. The help of the Holy Spirit is available today. Even the people that walked with Jesus, that's why I love this. Sister Lucy, please come. Please come. Sister Christian, come. Amen. The disciples, they walked with Jesus. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They were with him. They ate with him. After he died, they had to pray for boldness to continue. The experience they had was being challenged by the world. Maybe your own experience is being challenged by other situations that have come up since you believed. You have had other challenges that you feel, am I going to explain that I'm a Christian? Today we will pray for boldness. Thank you. They walked with Jesus. They saw him after he rose from the dead. But when the challenges of life came, they knew what they had to pray for. Lord, grant us boldness. When after you believed, there may have been other challenges that have risen up that want to shut your mouth from being a good witness of God. But today, by the mercy of the living God, you're going to rise up and say, Lord, I thank you for what you have done in my life. If you have not experienced him before, you are going to say, God, I need you to show me the way of salvation. And then we all pray, God grant us boldness as a church. The essence is not to fill Word Fountain Christian Ministries. It's to get souls in readiness for heaven. And it will please the God to send souls to Word Fountain. Amen? We are only one of the post houses of God. We are only one of the many churches that God has. But we must contribute to the advancement of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom. The Bible says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. We only need to play our own part and make sure that this kingdom does not suffer loss. Let's rise up to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a song I want the choir to join me in singing. If the media has got it, Hallelujah, we'll sing the song. It's a personal testimony. Did you get it, sir? Thank you. Hallelujah. I know he rescued my soul. I know it. I know he did it for you, but I know he rescued my own soul. I was on the path of hell. I was on the path of death. If I've known that he's done it for me, then I will lift up a banner. I will tell the world. I will tell my colleagues. I will tell my neighbors that I believe. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll wait for them to help us. I want you to have that conviction. Revive it in your spirit. Your soul was rescued. Your pain healed in his name. And you believe it, then we want to tell it. I want you to agree with God that at least two souls this week you are going to talk to. There is no church plan, but we can come on Friday, come early, and do some 30 minutes of evangelism. Amen? Amen? Do some 30 minutes of evangelism. If you come at 6 o'clock, maybe up to even an hour. Amen? Is that okay, church? We do 1 hour evangelism. We meet here. We pray, and then we go out for about 30, 40 minutes and come back to pray again. Then we finish prayers by 8. Is that okay, sirs? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.